Today's the 5th of April. Rabbi Rosenzweig speaking about Taruvot Chametz.
Okay, we can begin?
Yeah.
Okay. The shiur today is being given on the Zechar, the Kili Nishmas, David Aryeh ben Yosef Hakohen. The Divrei Torah that are said should be as close and as strong as we have in Aliyah. The topic of the day that we're going to address is the topic of Tarogas Chametz, an issue that I think highlights also some of the unique aspects of the Isur of Chametz, which of course is very relevant to our current situation a couple of days before the beginning of Chag HaMatzot. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, Psukim Yud Tes Drucha, this of course is the locus classicus of the demon of Pesach. So the Torah introduces the whole topic, and we read about the requirements of the Kodesh Pesach, and various other aspects of the Chag, and then the Torah tells us that Barishon Ba'arba Soyom LaChodesh Ba'erev Tochu Matzos, on the first night of Pesach, one is obligated to eat Matzos, Ad Yom Ha'echad Ve'esrim LaChodesh Ba'arev, until the 21st, the entire period of, in other words, Chag HaMatzos, one is to eat Matzos. And then we're told that the flip side is Shivat Yamin, for those 7 days, Sa'or Lo Yimatzei Bevateichem, you're not allowed to have Chametz present in your home. And then the Torah explains, Ki kol ochel machmetzes, whoever eats machmetzes, chametz, the nichrasa hanefesh ahim me'adas Yisrael. So the result is that there'll be a violation, a punishment of kares, me'adas Yisrael, bager u'bezrach ha'aretz. So if you stop there, we would have understood that there is a requirement to eat matzah, there's a prohibition to eat chametz, or even to have chametz in your rishus on Pesach, and if you violate the eating part of it, and that's if you eat chametz on Pesach, you call ochel machmetzes, so you incur a punishment of kares. Now kares is something which we encounter in other isurim as well, although it is rare. Most macholos asuros, most times that we encounter prohibition to eat, we usually get malkus. Here and there, there are isurei kares, which are more chamor as well, and chametz is among them, according to the pasuk. But then you have an additional pasuk before the end of the little section. Kol machmetzes lo sochelu. Anything of chametz should not be eaten. V'chol motzvoseichem tochlu matzos. In all of your places where you reside, you should be eating matzah. So of course the problem that concerned the Torah Shebaal Peh was why this apparent repetition. And we already said in the previous pasuk, just a few words earlier, ki kol ochel machmetes the nichrasa hanefesh ahii me'adas Yisrael. Why the repeat of kol machmetes lo sochei? And here, of course, the onesh is omitted. It's simply a prohibition to eat. So the question is, what is the relationship between these two psukim, pasuk etes and pasuk chav? Are we talking about the same iser but a double emphasis for some reason? Or are we talking about two different ideas? If so, what is the relationship between those two ideas, if there are two ideas? So the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the beginning of the third parak, seems to address this directly. Mishnah says, Ve'elu Ovrin B'Pesach, there's a debate what Ve'elu Ovrin means, we'll get back to this, but even, let's just get it out on the table. Ve'elu Ovrin, excuse the pun, but Eil over in Alem Bavai Rabbi Matze, Rashi says that Eil over means violate. You violate by Rabbi Matze with the following items, that they are chametz, and what are they? Kuta Chababli, Shechar Hamadi, Chometz Adomi, Zisum Hamitzri, Chometz Shel Tzvayim, Amilan Shel Tabachim, Kolan Shel Sofrim. These are various items. Some of them clearly are taroves chametz, where you have chametz mixed in with non-chametz, and you have a compound as a result. So these are over the Pesach. According to Rashi, the meaning is they have to be, they have to be taken out of your home, because otherwise you will violate Bayura Bay Matzah. Tosus disagrees. Tosus says the Eil Obrin doesn't mean that you should remove them from your home. It doesn't signify Bayura Bay Matzah at all. But rather, it is a reference to the Isur Achila. Better make sure they're not literally on your table, because if they're on your table, you might come to eat them. Even though there's no violation of Bayura Bay Matzah, you have to get rid of them because we're worried to siag l'achila. Actually, the way that the Bali Tosfos phrases is important. They first quote Rashi, and then they say, "Neil Rabbeinu Tam the Mashma the Kohanach Marbina the Kol Kamachmentis also Chesu, Afilu Bachila Lahav the Mechayiv Ilav the Rav Yakra." This will explain in a moment. The fact that these Taroves comments, these mixtures of comments, constitute an Isra Achila, is in itself a Kiddush which required a Pasuk, the Pasuk that we were just reading a moment ago. We'll see in a moment. And since that's the case, if you needed a pasuk to tell you that you can't eat them, then obviously their status as chametz is somewhat questionable or tentative. And if that's true, then it's not clear. Mehechetesi bayiro bayimatzeh. How do you know that you violate bayiro bayimatzeh on these mixtures if we weren't even sure that you're not allowed to eat them if not for a pasuk? Therefore, nir lebedu tam the elu over pirish, the reference in the Mishnah means ha'ochlon. The Ovrin, Haino Be'ala Shulchan. The Labanei Mechel Ninu, Aval Bayira Lake. So there's a debate whether or not chametz mixtures are a problem for Bayira Bayimaz. A huge nafkamina, obviously. We're Machmir, to get rid of Tarovas chametz as well. We'll see the Rambam in a couple of minutes, which is Shulchan Aruch except. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, Tarovas chametz could actually stay in your home. It's only a prohibition against Achila. The argument between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is important on several levels. Number one, just mentioned very practically, in terms of Bayura Bayimatzeh, kind of preparation for Pesach. But in addition to that, obviously, if there's no Bayura Bayimatzeh, that sheds some light on the status of Taroves Chametz, even Legabe Achila. And the whole argument of Tosus is that you can't assume Bayura Bayimatzeh when you have to be Mechadesh, based on Tzukim, that there was even an Isra Achila. So the whole way that we look at Taroves Chametz is affected by this argument of Rashi and Tosus. Undoubtedly, Rashi's response to Tosus's question, well, if we didn't have a Rivui, we wouldn't even know that you're allowed to eat these things. Rashi's response undoubtedly would be that that's all fine and good because we were just trying to figure out where to draw the circle when it comes to Chametz. What is Chametz? How do we define Chametz? Once we define something as Chametz, in an Achila, you don't need a separate limud to teach you that there's bayira bayimatzeh. If it's chametz, it's chametz. Chametz has a certain integrated definition and consequences that flow therefrom. And if something is chametz in achila, no matter what the origin of that isur is, then obviously it's chametz in bayira bayimatzeh as well. In any case, that's the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah goes on to explain that Rabbi Eliezer ben Avraham says, "Achta shite nashim," even cosmetics would be included in this category. We'll see the significance of that in a moment. And then the Mishnah concludes. Zakla. Kol shu mimin dagan, anything that has in it, right, one of the five minim, harei ze over the Pesach, harei elu ba'azara, ve'ein bahem nishim karos. You violate at least Yisra Achila, and according to Rashi, Ba'yira on Pesach. These constitute a lav, and there is no karos. What do you mean, no kares? We know that chametz is kares. So obviously, the Mishnah is telling us that this is a separate category of chametz. That's already evident in the argument between Rashi and Tosus about Bayira. Where does it come from if it's not based on the pasuk of kares? So the Gemara itself, on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, discusses this. The Gemara says as follows. Man tana, the chametz gamur, who is the author of the Mishnah, or the view that says that when you have taroves chametz, a mixture of chametz, rather than pure chametz, in other words, or if you have chametz nuksha, which is pure chametz, but it's not edible, so say it's roi lachilas kalev, a dog would eat it, so it has a shei mochel, But it's not roi l'achilas padam. People don't generally eat it. That's called chametz nuksha, the broad definition. How do you know that that violates a lav? A Rav Yudah Marav, Rav Meir. That is the position of Rav Meir. Who's Rav Meir? The Tanya, Siur Yisare, the Nosa, the Kalbo, the Okla, the Arboim. The Bryson discusses this problem. If you have Siur, which is where the chibutz process has begun, but it hasn't advanced significantly, so Rav Meir is of the opinion that you have to burn it. Okla, the Arboim, you get Malkus. Then the Gemara examines the sheet of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda. I'm not going to get into that at the moment. That's not really relevant for us. Then the Gemara concludes that that is chametz nuksha. And the Gemara says if nuksha, chametz nuksha is halav, if chametz, which is not edible, right, is violation of halav, then koshkein chametz doesn't govern oidei tarot. So if you have edible chametz, but it's mixed with something else, that certainly would violate halav. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman or Rav Lazari. No. The author of the Mishnah isn't really Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Eliezer. Who's Rabbi Eliezer? The Tanya, al chametz dagen gomer odosh kares, al eruge galaab divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who said explicitly that if you have tarogas chametz, a mixture of chametz and non-chametz, you will violate a lav, as opposed to chametz gomer, chametz ben, pure chametz, not mixed at all, where you violate kares. The chachamim omrim, Al-Khamid's Dagan Gamur Anash Kares, Al-Eruvo below Klum. So far the Khamid say, there's no such thing. All there is the Khamid of Kares, as we read in the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, Pasuk Yud, what is Pasuk? Pasuk Yud Tes, I'm sorry, as opposed to Pasuk Kaf. And anything less than pure Khamid, which violates to the extent of Kares, is Pasuk below Klum, is Pasuk Legab. So then the Gemara says, the Shaminoi Rav Elazar, the Amar Chametz Dagan Gomer Aydei Tarov is Palav, but Kol Shekein Nuksha Be'enei. If Rabbi Eliezer thinks a mixture of Chametz constitutes basis for a lav, then certainly pure Chametz, even if it's not edible, would also violate a lav. Rav Nachman, by Tam Elomek Rav Yehuda. Okay, then they go on to explain the various shitos, and the Gemara goes back and forth, which is a bigger finish. Chametz, which is edible but mixed, or chametz, which is pure but inedible. Which of these is more obviously awesome? Then finally, the Gemara says, Aru, what is the basis for all of this? So the Gemara says, it's the Pasuk Chaf, that second Pasuk that we spoke of. So the Gemara says, Man Shamasayt Amar Le'ruva Bilam, Rabbi Eliezeri. And what about the Chachamim? So the Rav Lazar, a ruvo delav minole, what's the source of Rabbi Eliezer? Dechsiv kol machmetzes lo sochet. That second pasuk. Since it says kol machmetzes means anytime there's any chametz, even if it's diluted by being in a mixture. So the Gemara says, yachi karis nami l'chayim. Dechsiv, but the pasuk before says, ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrasa. So the Gemara says, "Agumi bayle chidatanya eli alishin is chametz mei lav machmas davar acher minayin tamadavar kol machmetzas v'nichrasa." The previous pasuk, the kol, means any way that it became chametz. We don't care how, whether it was some initiative that you took, or whether it happened by means of some other process. Agav urcha. But we're talking about pure chametz. The second pasuk kav, is talking about a mixture of chametz. Okay. That is the Gemara. Now, so far, if you just read the Mishnah and the Gemara, so what comes out is as follows. There's a major debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, how to read these two psukim, and consequently, there's a major debate in the Halacha. The Mishnah, which, before you read the Gemara, sounds like everybody accepts that there's something called Chametz, which is Ba'azhara, and not the Kares, is only Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. That's a simple reading of the Gemara so far. Only Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer says, our two psukim, Pasuk Ketes and Pasuk Chav, Pasuk Ketes is pure chametz that is edible, that's the kares. Pasuk Chav is a mixture of chametz that is edible, and by extension, the same halacha would apply to chametz which is not edible, but which is pure, just 1 second, chametz nuksha or chametz taroves. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there are two psukim, one bakares, two psukim, two chametz, one bakares, one b the lab. The Chachamim say there's only one kind of chametz. The chametz of Taurus and Pasuk Kedesh. Pasuk Kav is talking about a different matter entirely. It's extending the idea of that chametz shel Taurus. But if you had Tarobet's chametz or chametz nuksha, according to the Rabbanon, you would, min haTorah, not be in any violation whatsoever. Yeah?
Stop me if you're going to go there.
Okay.
I don't understand the chavamina. If I had chaylov mixed in with shuman,
uh-huh.
There wouldn't be any chavamina. There's no easter. You're eating chaylov. The fact
well, it depends what the... Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. Okay. But the question is, I don't know whether there wouldn't be any chavamina. I mean, there's extensive discussion on that topic in the Gemara. It's called the Tam Kikar or Tamo Mamasho. It depends what the halakha, what the Tam Kikar is, or I should drop on.
That's not what addressing whether you're actually eating it. It's not defining it mixed with something else as a different entity.
Well, it's if you're not allowed to eat chela, and when you mix chela with shuman, you don't violate it because you're a different entity. You're using bato, right? If your whole Tam is Lav Kikar, right? So if you take chaylev and you mix it with shuman, right, then it's no longer chaylev. And if you eat it, then it's already no
chaylev. Is that a difference in kind or degree? I can't tell.
For halakhic purposes, it doesn't matter what, if you want to say that it's not chaylev or it's not chaylev in a state which you violate, it doesn't really matter very much. We're talking about chametz in terms of violating kares, in terms of violating lav. Now, as it happens in general, we'll see this in just a second as well, the question is whether we pass in Tam Kikar, or there's something else called Tam O Mamasho, which we'll discuss in just a couple of minutes, which is the general rule about mixing or mixtures of Yisurin. And the question is whether the Din of Chametz is consistent with those general dinim, or there's something unusual about it, and that's really what I want to discuss. But the idea that when you mix a Be'en with something else, that it may lose its identity, or under certain conditions it loses its identity, with respect to the Yisur, it's not such a far-fetched or difficult idea. That depends on these general questions. Okay? Good. Now, the Gemara doesn't leave it at this. There's another Gemara, and that's the next stop. This is the background. Then Gimel of Events. Here the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Avoh, pertaining to your question, Amar Rav Avoh and Rav Yochanan, Kol Yisurin Shebetorah Ein Hetem Mitzaref L'Yisur. What this means is as follows. Normally, when there's an Isur Torah, so there's a shear. Right? You're not allowed to eat something. Let's say you're not allowed to eat chela, you're not allowed to eat dam, you're not allowed to eat chazir, you're not allowed to eat tevel. Right? So a nazir is not allowed to have wine products. So there's a shear. There's a certain amount that you have to eat in order to violate, right, to be subject to the punishment. How do you measure that amount? So normally we say, ein heter mitzaref l'isa. This is just another way of saying that you have to eat the amount of the isa. In other words, you have to eat a kezias of chela. You have to eat a kezias of chazir. You have to eat a kezias of tevel. If you eat half a kezias of tevel, right, but you're eating something else at the same time, whether in a karoves or physically bevatzachas at the same time, let's say you're eating Cheerios and tevel. Right, half the zayas of Cheerios and half the zayas of tevel. Right, that may not sound very attractive, but some people like Cheerios. So, or maybe you have Cheerios, half of which is tevel. I don't know if Cheerios are chamesh aminim or what they are, but whatever it is, or tvua. But whatever the case may be, so if you eat a kezayas, right, of this tarobes or the vatachas, but not a full kezayas of the iser. So that's called heter mitzaref l'iser. Do we say that the heter combines the iser for the amount of achila, which is kezayas, even though you didn't eat chetza shel iser of kezayas, or no? So generally the Gemara says, we paskins, when we talk about violations, that kol iser and shabatara ain't heter mitzaref l'iser. That in order to violate, you have to eat the full amount. The full amount, the kezayas of the full amount, or whatever the shear is. And yom kippur a kosetas agasa of the full amount. Okay. However, there's an exception, or exceptions. Chutz mi'isur nazir. Shere omra Torah nishreis. The Torah speaks about, a combination when it comes to nazir. I mean, if you dip your bread in the wine, that's called also part of the violation of nazir. He's not allowed to eat wine. He's not allowed to drink nishreis yayin either, which means that you don't have to drink the full shear of the ayin if the combined, the pito shara of the ayin is a kezias. That too is a violation of the zeros. That's called heter of the tzar pleaser. That's an exception. So the Gemara says ziri amar af sa'ar bal taktiru. The same thing is true. There's an iser to throw sa'or and dvash, right, on the mizbeach. And let's say you put a little bit of sa'or plus something else at the same time, and you're makter together, even though you don't have the shear of the sa'or, nonetheless, a special din that sa'or, the bal taktiru, we apply the rule of heta v'tzara please. The Gemara says, how do you know this? Or who's the man Damar says this? Kaman Karabi Eliezer, Darish, call, because it says, call Sa'or. Any little amount of Sa'or, even if it's less than a shear, as long as it's a shear, altogether, even if it's half of a star, please. So then the Gemara says, Yachi, if that's true, then the Indian Chometz of Pesach Nami. It says, call Machmetzes. So in order to violate Chometz, maybe you don't have to eat a Kazayas of Chometz. If you eat a little bit of Chometz, in the context of eating a Kazayas overall, Hefer, Mitzvahically, so that should be enough as well for Rabbi Eliezer, who's Doresh Kol. So the Gemara says, in Akhanani, that's, you're absolutely right. Rabbi Eliezer holds that way. In fact, that's what Rabbi Eliezer means in our Mishnah. Because what does the Mishnah say? That if you have Putach Abadli or Shechar Abadi, take Shechar because that's easy for us to understand, right? Midian beer, right? Beer has Sa'or in it, which is Chametz, but it doesn't have a Kezias, let's say, of the Chametz. So you have, whatever the process of making beer is, you have a part of chametz and a part which is not chametz. And the point is that Rabbi Eliezer says that's called tarogas chametz. And Rabbi Eliezer says that you violate a lot. That's the second pasuk, pasuk chav, that we read before, right? Kol machmetzes lo sochelu is to teach you even tarogas chametz. Now, so what's going on here? The Gemara just added a new dimension. We're just gleaning information, that's why I'm presenting it this way, as we go along. We have a pasuk, we're not sure what that extra pasuk means. We found out from the Mishnah that there's something called Chametz Palav, which isn't Bekaretz. Then we read the Gemara a little further, we found out that that Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Eliezer, or so it would appear, but not according to the Rabbanan. For the Rabbanan is only Karetz, that's what it appears. Now we have a new Gemara that's telling us, by the way, you know Rabbi Eliezer is based on, well, we know the pasuk already, called Machmetzah, but now we know, to put it in context, that the idea of Rabbi Eliezer is hetter v'tzara klisa, which means that if you were, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you were to eat a kezias of the tarogas, a kezias of kutach habavli, or a kezias of shechar amadi, even though you're not eating a kezias of chametz, let's say you're eating a third of a kezias of chametz and two-thirds of the other mixture, I don't know what the real proportion is, but whatever the proportion is, right? And you're eating, it doesn't make a difference. Well, maybe it does, but let's assume for Rabbi Eliezer it doesn't, right? Listen, you're eating kezias of kutach habavli or kezias of shechar amadi. So if you do that, you violate the lav. It's based on the principle of hetter mitzare pleisa. This is a new piece of information. Now we understand Rav Eliezer even better. And now we understand why the Chachamim disagree. Because the Chachamim think that we don't say hetter mitzare pleisa. So when the Torah prohibits the substance, it requires that you eat the full shear of that substance. So you need kezias of chametz, not a kezias of kutach habavli or shechar amadi. Okay, great. So far we understand. The problem with all this, then the Gemara goes on to analyze this issue. The Gemara asks the question, is it really true that in general when the Torah says something is prohibited, it's only the amount itself, kezayis, but not heter mitzar, so not a combination of the heter and the yisar? But tanan, there's a Mishnah that says, in Tzvul Yom, a mikvah shel truma, with a pay, means that you have truma soup. You have a soup that's made out of truma, v'ashum v'ashemen shokhul, and then you want to put some ingredients to liven it up, I guess, some spices, so you put shum and shemen, which are chulin. So you have truma soup, primarily, and you throw in some spices that are chulin. So nagat chulyon demiktasan, pasas kula. It all becomes truma, because that's the dominant ingredient. But if you have the opposite, let's say the soup is made out of the chulin. Then you don't say that the predominant element is the chametz, and then you're going to treat it differently. So the Gemara says, They ask, they say, well, why is this prohibited? It must be because we're combining the heter, we'll say the shum and the shemen or whatever it is, with the iser, the truma. And even though you don't eat a kezias of the truma, the czar is going to get malchus. What do we see? That heter mitzvahically, so you don't need the full amount of iser for the shiur. So here, where the Gemara gives a very important answer, the Gemara says, no. Lo, my kezias de'ika, kezias b'chdei achilas pras. We're talking about a case where there's a kezias b'chdei achilas pras, which means, if in the shiur of eating a pras, which is debated what exactly that is, but the pras like signifies a meal, like a regular time to eat a 10 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it is, right? You will eat a kezias of the iser, so then everybody will agree that you violate. Even though it's a mixture, you're not only eating the iser, you're eating iser and heter, but if the time that it takes to eat a pras, you will eat a kezias of the iser, right? Even though you'll be eating 3 kezasim, or 4 kezasim, let's say, all combined, or maybe more, that is basis for malchus. Why? Rashi explains, because in Kol Torah Kula, that's the halacha. How do we define achila? Let's say I'm going to eat pure chametz, and I'm going to eat a few crumbs now, and a few crumbs a few minutes from now, and a few more crumbs. How do we figure out whether or not I've reached the shear of kezias? You have to eat it in one fell swoop of asachas. But we'll discuss that later too. Do you? Not for purposes of violating. What's the shear? Kezias b'chdei achilas pras. Right? That's true for chametz, for isurin. It's true for matzah. Right? Anytime there's a din of achila, all things being equal, there's a shear of kedei achilas pras. That's a shear of tziruf of achila. If within that time span you eat a kezias, it's like you've eaten a kezias. So the Gemara says, that's true even if you hold ein heter mitzarif leiser. If you eat kezias of iser, b'chdei achilas pras. So then the Gemara says as follows, this is the punchline. The Gemara says, kezias b'chdei achilas pras d'oraisa? This din that if you eat a kezias within the time span of a pras, that's a din d'oraisa? So the Gemara says, amalei in. Yeah, of course. So then the Gemara says, well, Yahya might sneak your rabban and allow drabalazo for kuta chababli. We had the Mishnah. Mishnah said, if you eat kuta chababli or sheikh ramadi, all these combinations, and according to the Mishnah, you violate a law. Then the Gemara said that it's only Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Rabbanan, you don't violate anything. So now the Gemara is saying, but we just now found out that there's something called kezayas zechei achilas pras. That if you eat a kezayas of Easter within the time span of achilas pras, that constitutes a din d'oraisa of tziruf achila. So if you were to eat enough chametz, right, within an achilas pras, that is a kezayas, so why would the Rabbanan say in the Mishnah that potter v'lo kum? That's only Rabbi Eliezer who says that you violate the law. What's going on here? So the Gemara says, you're right. It is a din d'oraisa. So why did the Rabbanan disagree about kuta chababli? Elamai, we should have been sorry, please, sir. So my pliger rabbanu allowed rabbanu be kuta chababli. So the Gemara says hanachu kuta chababli. Forget about kuta chababli. Okay. The leif say kezayis b'chnei achilas pras e be'enei the kasar v'ka'achu batal daitai tol kaladam e mishne kashatar v'achal be kezayis b'chnei achilas pras. The Gemara says as follows: the things in the Mishnah kuta chababli sheikh ramani, no one eats a kezayis of them. B'chdei achilas pras, in the course of normal achila. When you routinely sit down and you eat kuta chababli, sheikh ramadi, etc., it'll take you more than a pras of time, whatever that time period is, to end up eating a kezayis of isa. And if you were to hurry it, right, that would be batla daitalei tzol kalada. That would be unusual, and we wouldn't count that either. That's the maskana of the Gemara. Okay, so far it sounds very esoteric. Okay, but now that we've gone through the basics, you'll see what's going on here. One more time. What do we have so far? A pasuk which seems to be superfluous, right? And which does not seem to be speaking about kares, machlokes, the two double laws of the Chachamim, seemingly, whether or not Tarovas Chametz is a separate lav, which is what the Mishnah is talking about, or not. There's only one concept of Chametz Kares. The Gemara originally says that Rabbi Eliezer's idea that the separate thing is Tarovas Chametz, separate from the Chametz Be'en of Kares, is based on the principle of Hefer Mitzaref Le'iser. Right? You don't have to eat a kazayas of chametz. It's enough to eat a kazayas of the object as long as there's chametz inside of it. We don't paskin that way, which is why we don't paskin like the Mishnah, presumably. And then finally, in the course of this discussion, the Gemara said, but what about the rule of kazayas b'chnei achilas pras? Namely, if you eat enough of the chametz within the time frame of a pras, even the chachamim should say that that's a problem. And the Gemara says, in principle, you're 100% right. If you were to eat tarovas chametz within the pras time, and you would end up eating kazayas, you would violate. However, the cases of the Mishnah are cases where naturally it takes longer than a pras to eat a kazayas of the chametz. That's what we've seen so far in the Gemara. So based on these Gemaras, if I were to ask anybody in the room, so what's the story about Tarovas chametz? I think everybody would say, if it's the kind of Tarovas chametz where you're going to eat a kazayas with a kilos pras, you would violate, and what would you violate? Karis, because you're eating atmos or chametz within the right time frame. And if you don't end up eating within the achilos pras or kazayas, then you violate absolutely nothing, maybe chasishir, but nothing in the Torah because you haven't eaten the kazayas of chametz. End of story, end of shir.
It's not a difference in degree. It's not a difference in time.
What's not a difference in time?
The way you just defined it, there's no such thing as tarovas really.
According to the simple reading of the Gemara. Correct. However, that would be the end of the shir, and I was given an hour, right? So what do we do with that? So if you look at the Rit, and if you look at the Rambam, that's where all the trouble seems to begin. But it doesn't ever, you know, begin with the Rambam and the Rit. It just forces us to reassess what really has been going on. So if you look at the Rambam and the Koteret, to Hilchas Chametz to Matzah, the Rambam counts Tarovas Chametz as a separate Isser. Rambam counts Chametz Ben, I forgot. Okay, whatever. If you look at the Koteret, you'll see it. The Rambam counts Chametz Ben, and the Rambam also counts Tarovas Chametz, a mixture of Chametz. That already raised eyebrows in the Rishonim. The Rambam Tosfos, like Rabbi Eliezer, seems to be that Mishnah and the reading of the Tosfos in the separate lab is only Rabbi Eliezer, who says, Hetzem Mitzar Pleiser. Real Paskin Hetzem Mitzar Pleiser. How come the Rambam counted Tarovas Chametz as a lot? He does this in the Koteret Tirchos Chametz, and he does it again in, or he did it earlier, in the Mitzvah Asay, and Mitzvah Bos Asay, in Sefer Mitzvot, Kuf Tzadi Ches. I'll read you the language here just for a minute, we'll get back to it later. He says, he run on the Achol Dvarim Sheesh Ben Tarovas Chametz, a prohibition to eat things in which there is Tarovas Chametz. Achafi She'ena Lechem, Kimo Amuria, Hakutach, Sheikhar, Dogalahem, Hu Amaro, what's the Pasuk, what's the Makar? Kol Machmetz Losok Helu Pasuk Kam. Lashon Vechilta, Kol Machmetz Losok Helu Rabos, Kutach Abavli, Sheikhar Madi, Kol Mitadomi, maybe if you eat these tarobios, you should get kares. The only chametz that gets kares is pure chametz, unadulterated chametz. Then, so what is Pasuk Chav teaching us if there's no kares? So what's going on with Rambam? The Rambam passes like Rabbi Eliezer, the Hetzem Mitzar Pleiser. If you look at Hilchos Machlokes Asuros, it's pretty clear that that is not true. I mean, the Rambam doesn't pass the Hetzem Mitzar Pleiser, right? So how come the Rambam is passing like this Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, who understands the pasuk Chav in this way, when the Chachamim clearly disagree? However, if we look at the Rambam, both in Sefer Mitzvos, and in, I'll finish Sefer Mitzvos for the moment, we'll get back to it. The Rambam adds an important qualification, which may be the answer, but for some other Rishonim, it just added to the question. So the Rambam says as follows. Ukvar is bar v'tzachim, she'im hi'yosav asurim, umuzarim ne'achimasam. If you look at the Gemara, v'tzachim, says the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, which we just did, right? It becomes clear that while there is a prohibition to eat this. Lo nitzchayev b'achilas ha'malkis, elev ayibayim kazayis b'kdei achilas pratz. But the only time you'll actually violate is if there's kazayis b'kdei achilas pratz. Anam, however, in ha'ayibayim iruv chametz pachos mizeh, if the combination or the mixture is less than kazayis achilas pratz, that's sure, ein chayav al achilas ha'malkis. What? That's what the Gemara said? The Gemara said that you violate Tarovus Chametz when it's Kazayis B'tei Achilas Pratz? That wasn't the simple reading of the Gemara. I thought the way Rashi read the Gemara. The way Rashi read the Gemara was the Gemara asked the question, forget about Tarovus Chametz. Why don't you just get Malk? Why don't you get Kares by virtue of the fact that you ate a Kazayis B'tei Achilas Pratz? Right? All of a sudden, the Rambam, right, apparently understood that Gemara in a totally different way. Not only in Sefer Mitzvos, even more importantly, in Yad HaChazaka. Here the Rambam says, in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Chametz Amata Halach Abav, Ein Chayavin Al Kares Al Achilas Atmo Shal Chametz, right? El Achilas Atmo Shal Chametz. If you eat pure Chametz, you get Kares. Otherwise, Abel Iruv Chametz, a mixture of Chametz, Kagon, any other mixture of chametz, in makala b'tasach loke, you get malchus ve'im bakares. Shenemar kol machmetzos lo sochei with pasuk chat. Again, the Rambam is posthuming like the Mishnah. There's something called taromas chametz. Chametz varma murim b'sha'achal. When is this true? B'sha'achal kezayis chametz b'tocha taromas b'tei achilos gimel beitzim hu shalok ev nahor. If you eat kezayis b'tei achilos pras, then you get malchus. Same shita, same difficult shita, namely that if you eat kazayis b'teachilos pras, you get malchus, otherwise you get nothing. So all the notes that Kalin asks against the Rambam starts with the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos. His Asoga here, he says, I don't understand what the Rambam is doing here. And he asks several questions. Number one, it seems like he's posturing like Rabbi Eliezer would. He should be passing like the Chachamim. He's not really passing like Rabbi Eliezer either, because Rabbi Eliezer's position is based on Hetzer and Tzara Pleaser, and the Rambam doesn't think the Hetzer is Tzara Pleaser. Right? So what is the Rambam saying with this Kazayis B'tei Achilas Pras? Well, Kazayis B'tei Achilas Pras, says the Ramban, is a universal halakha. It's not exactly a custom about Chametz. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Salach Vav, where the Gemara says, there's a debate. When you say tam ki ikar, anytime you can take an iser, right, you treat it as if it's there, no matter what the ratio, right? Or you require tamo umamasho. What is tamo umamasho? So the Gemara says, kezayis b'chei achilas pras. Namely, if you can taste it, so it isn't batel, and you also end up eating a kezayis of the iser within the time frame of achilas pras, so it isn't batel, and you've eaten the full shear, and therefore you get punished. That's called tamo mamasho. So what is the Rambam saying here? That kazayis b'chei achilas pras is chametz. Rambam says, well, that's a universal din. That doesn't need exerus akasuv of kol machmetzes. That's question number two. Question number three is the most important question. I won't read it because it's already a little late, so we'll save a little time. Question number three is, what did the Rambam say? Kazayis b'chei achilas pras, right? And what happens if you eat the kazayis b'chei achilas pras? You get malchus. So the Rambam says, you shouldn't get malchus, you should get kares. Because it's called tarakula. If you eat kazayis within the time frame of regular achila, then you get the full, that's called achila. And if the achila is subject to a violation of malchus, and you get malchus, and if it's subject to violation of kares, you should get kares. Let's read you the bottom part. He says, "V'chein kazayis b'chei achilas pras chayavim b'kol yisur to the Torah, bein malchus bein kares. K'mosh omer b'chalalon, kol shetamu mamosho osa v'lo k'novam, zeu kazayis b'chei achilas pras. V'kivin shehu loka the Gemara, the Avodah Zarah is talking about the case of malchus, because that's what the primary, if you were to eat unadulterated, dam, or unadulterated chazir, you get malchus. The kibbutz who loved at the Sari Surin, Nilma to Chayav Kara, it's called Chayav Krisos. If the unadulterated eating is Kara, then you eat it, can be actually less pras, you should get Kara. She'ain the Sari Surin, Bender, Shmarabos, Malkus, and Lamai, Kara, Kibbutz, Shrabalazaba, the Chamet. Therefore, the Rabban says, the Rambam is wrong. There's no such thing as a separate Yitzhar of Karovitz Chametz, which is the Malkus. There's just Ein Birya Kazu. There's just no such category. And he takes it out of the Minyan Alamed. That is the Rabban's critique. The Rabban's critique is very sharp. Others disagree with the Rambam, right, without being as critical. What is going on with this Rambam? So again, there are several questions to address. Does the Rambam pass like Rav Elazar or Rabbanan? Seems like he passes like neither. Right? Doesn't Paskin have to decide for the Yisr? But one would have thought if you're passing like the Rabbanan, there's no such thing as Haromas Chametz. Certainly, Kazayas is Kachilos Pras would seem to be a totally different idea, an idea of Tzirup Achila. That should occasion Kares, not simply love. So what is going on in the Rambam? It isn't just the Rambam, it's really the Rif and the Rambam. Some of them were bothered by the question. The other question that Rambam alludes to, which is, what's so unusual about Tarovas Chametz anyway? If there's Talma Umamasho, that's the regular data of Ki'ikar or Tzirup Kedechi Las Pras, it says. The Gra suggests, actually, this is the Makar of this din. The general din of Tam Ki'ikar has its source. The Gemara discusses what the source. The source is really here, Chametz, Palmach, that's this. Okay, that's an approach. Others suggest that the case here is an unusual case. That's their general approach to the Rambam. They were talking about a case here where there is no Talm. The Merkavos HaMishnah, famous view, where he says, maybe this Rambam is talking about a case where you can't taste the Chametz. So normally, from the universal rules of Talm or Talm HaMamasho, you would say, Pitul. Right? Here, the Chiddush is that there's something new called Tarovas Chametz, and if you eat it, Kazayas Dechilos Pras, even though you can't taste it, that you violate, but you only violate a lav and not a karis. If the Rambam is really talking about a case where there's no tam, right, if you buy that, then that would be a good explanation. The Kesanisha says something similar. Kesanisha says, oh, we're talking about a case where you eat it Shalom Kederach. So universally, if you eat something Shalom Kederach, you're Patur. And the Torah here is Mechadesh, when it comes to Chametz, that the rules are different. Right, just like for the Mekevus HaMishnah, the rules are different than you don't require Tam. So the Mekevus HaMishnah says the rules are different, and even Achila Shalom Kederech would constitute a violation. Again, if you assume that that's exactly what the Rambam is talking about, that would answer the question, although the implications would still have to be analyzed. Maybe how come Chametz is different from all other Makolos Asuros regarding either the requirement of Tam, which normally defines Bittul, or Shalom Kederech? Either way, I find these the general approach appealing, but specifically problematic. The Rambam doesn't say anything here about the not being Tam. The Rambam doesn't say anything about being Shalom Kederech. What is going on here, and how does the Rambam read the Gemara, either way? Oh. Did you have a question?
I'm just wondering, does no Tam mean something like Min Vimino? Because that's not, that Tam doesn't play a role either.
Say that again? One more time?
When you say no Tam,
yeah.
Min Vimino also doesn't play a
role. Right. No, that's true. I'm not talking about, here's Min Shalom Vimino. But let's say you just don't, you just don't taste the Tam. There is no Tam. The Min Vimino, the problem is that, you know, it's the same Tam. The Min, which is why, it's, you know, Min Vimino is always either better or worse. But I'm talking, they're kind of permission assuming the situation where, let's say the ratio is such, you just can't taste it. Or it's different. It's Eino Benino, but the other ingredients are so powerful, they mask the taste. It doesn't really matter. The general idea is under those clips. Now, what's going on? So I'd like to take a momentary digression, not really a digression, just to highlight a certain point and then to get back to this. We mentioned before the argument between Rashi and Tosfos, or Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Evil over it, what does it mean? So the Mishnah is referring to Rabbi Yamante, or the Mishnah is referring to the Yisra Achila. That's the question. Rashi said, Vayira. Rabbeinu Tam said, no. The fact that there's an Yisra of Tarovas Chametz is itself a Kiddush. Now we understand that line a little better, because according to the Gemara, simple reading of the Gemara, it's based on Hefem and Tzara from the Yisra, which is not just a simple idea. So you're going to say that there's also Vayira? Maybe not. Okay, what is the Rambam's view on this matter? So the Rambam in Paragala, the Chametz Matzah, this is also a view in Shulchan, is a kind of compromise view. The Rambam says, Tarugus Chametz is subject to Bayra by Matzah. Chametz Nuksha, right, inedible Chametz, is subject to Bayra by Matzah, as long as it's not Nitzah Machilas Kaleb. Right? However, if you have both together, if it's Tarugus and Nuksha, then it's not subject to Bayra by Matzah. This is Tardal Alakhaketz. Tarovitz Chametz, over in Aleha, Mishubai Rabbi Masei, Kigon and Muyas. Now, what are the examples that he gives? Kuta Chavavli, this means something to us. Kuta Chavavli, by definition. Sheikh Ramadi, again, Shosan Osam Nakemach, Koki Yotzebele Bidram HaNechalim, Havodavish Yeshma Tarovitz Chametz, Ve Eina Roy Lachima, you have the combination of Tarovitz and Nuksha, Hare the Mutal Akhaim of the Pesach. So it's a compromise view. Tosafot says Tarovitz Chametz is no Bayira, Rashi says Tarovitz Chametz is always Bayira, and the Rambam says Tarovitz Chametz is Bayira if it's edible. Okay, then he goes on to explain, other things that are, either edible but not Tarovitz, or Tarovitz is not edible, or both, it's edible. The Ramach asks a simple question. Ramach says, one of the examples that he gives is Sheikh Ramadi and Kuta Chabadli. Right? But according to the Rambam in Parak Aleph Halacha Vav that we just read, when it comes to Achila of Tarovitz Chametz, if you were to eat Kuta Chabavli, would you violate the Yisur Achila of Chametz Pesach? No. Because that Mishnah, according to the Gemara, is a leave of the Rabbi Eliezer. Rambam doesn't pass like Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Rambam, the only time you violate the Achila is if what? This Kazayis, Bechdei Achilas Pras. We haven't figured out why yet, but fine. But the Gemara said specifically that Kuta Chabavli, there is no Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, because people don't eat it that quickly. Oh. So the Rabbach says, so you violate Bayroba Yimatse for an item that if you were to eat it, you wouldn't violate Achila? Bayroba Yimatse is more chamur than the Yisra Achila? That's the question of the Ramach. Now the Kesef Mishnah and some of the other notes that came and say, yes, in theory it is, but for the following reason. They say, listen, there is a Kezias of Chametz, but in this Sheikh Rabavli or in this Kuta Chabavli or Sheikh Ramadi. Right? We're just saying that when it comes to eating it, you don't end up encountering the Kezias Bechdekulis Pras. But when it comes to its presence in your home, by your by you might say, as long as there's a kazayas, as diluted as it might be, there's no kazayas of chametz in this entity. So that's by your by you might say, that's the kept of mission. The Ramach didn't like this. The Ramach thought it's something that if you eat it, it's not by your, it's not Yisra Achila, how can it be by your? So he came up with the following fascinating comment. Shemi Yesh Lomar, Ki ba'achila b'shemachin over the late day ba'achilas ha'kazayis b'chdechilas pras the bat l'day place of halada. V'hu pasak kirabanan v'lo dar shikol. Avot v'guf ha'davar yesh kazayis b'chdechilas pras v'kutach ha'bavli v'kim v'yesh ben chametz v'en kulahai over b'riyaso. The Rabbah says, really, the shiur for tarovus chametz for ba'yiroah is kazayis b'chnei achilas pras. But there are two kazayis b'chnei achilas prases. One is what the Gemara was talking about. Namely, if you eat something, right, and in the time frame of a pras, you're not going to eat a kazayis. And if you do, it's only because you're hurrying in such a way that it's bat l'daita, it's okalada. So when it comes to achila, that's not called kazayis b'chnei achilas pras. However, says the Ramach, when we're talking about bayroa b'yimatze, we're talking about the presence of the kazayas, right, of the chametz in your home, not eating it. The fact that it's kazayas b'chnei achilas pras, according to the standard of regular eating, is sufficient. What does that mean? The Ramach conveys an important principle. And the principle is as follows. When we look at the rule of kazayas b'chnei achilas pras, normally the way we look at it is in terms of ma'isa achila,
right? Instead of having to eat everything, the basakas, so there's a time frame to define, right, the tziruv of an achiva. You have 10 minutes, you have 12 minutes, you have 20 minutes, whatever it is. Within those minutes, it's considered one continuous achila for this year. That's the minute because I didn't say achilas tafs. What the Ramach is telling us is that there's a second din of Kazayas Bifte Achilas Pras. In addition to Shir Tziruv Achila, there's also a Shir in the Chefts of Tarobes. Namely, there are also some Tarobios. How diluted does the Be'en have to be within the Tarobes to be considered a serious enough presence? Right? You have Chavis and it's mixed in. So we don't care about the ratio at all. Right? So, there are ways to measure that. Tam ki ikar is one way to measure that. Another way to measure it is, if you were to eat a pras of this mixture, would you end up eating a kazayas of the man? Maybe that's not just a shir in tzir of achila, it's also a shir in the chepsa of tarobets. If you bump into, if you encounter a kazayas within the time frame of eating a pras of this object, then the ratio is dense enough to be a significant presence for that tarobas. So the Ramach is saying, you have to square Perek Dalet Halacha Ches and Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, meaning you can't have Vayu Ra'ah. That's the Ramach's argument. Kesemisa disagrees. You can't have Vayu Ra'ah in a situation which is completely, you know, disentangled from Yisro Achim. How come Kuta Chababli, there's no Yisro Achila, and Kuta Chababli, there is Balyura. So the Ramach's solution is, well, Kuta Chababli really has Kazayas Bifte Achilas Pras. It's just that if you were to eat it that way, it would be Shalom Kederach. But in terms of the Chetz and the Tarobes, it has Kazayas Bifte Achilas Pras, has the same density as a food which you would eat normally. You wouldn't encounter the Kazayas. That ratio, let's make up a ratio. Ratio X, right? Applies to Kuta Chababli. So the Chepta Shal Tarobes, it qualifies for Bayra. And this idea that Kazayas of the Achila's Pras isn't just a Tziruv in Achila, but it's a Shir of the Chepta Tarobes, is also the very prominent view of one of the Rishonim in another context. I mentioned that in general there's a question about mixtures, right? Tam ki ikar and tamu mamasha. What is tamu mamasha? The Gemara says kazayis bifte achilas pras. Even if tam is not ki ikar, then tasting it isn't enough to violate, right? Kazayis bifte achilas pras. Oh. When you have kazayis bifte achilas pras, how much do you have to eat? So let's say you have chelev, or dam, or tevel. So how much is kazayis bifte achilas pras? Is eating a kazayis of the tarobas, or eating a pras of the tarobas, so that you end up eating kazayis of the itzar? So according to all Rishonim, pretty much, it's the second. Meaning the whole idea of kazayis is kazayis pras is a tziruv in the achila. If you eat a pras, you end up eating a kazayis of the yisur, and then you violate. But Chaim Cohen, quoted by the Rosh and Chulin, disagrees. He says, when the Gemara says, Tama mamasho kazayis is kazayis pras, what it means is, if you have a pras, if you have a tarobas, which is dense enough that if you were to eat a pras, you'd end up eating a kazayis of yisur, so that tarobes, if you eat a kazayas of it, you violate. That's the din of tamo umamasho. In other words, kazayas b'chei achilas pras, not as a shir tziruf of achila, but as a shir in the chepta of the tarobes. Oh. If this is the case, now we don't pass with like Reb Chaim Cohen, to shitas yachid. It's a fascinating shita, but we don't ask it that way. Is it possible that in Kol Torah Kula we don't ask it this way, but maybe that's the chiddush of Chametz of Pesach? Torah says, if you eat Chametz of Pesach, you get Malkus. I'm saying you get Karetz. And if you eat Tarobet Chametz, you get a lot. Pasuk Chat. The question we asked was, well, what's going on here? In Kol Torah Kula Tam is Ki'ikar, or Tamo Umamasha. What's the special yichus, especially according to the Rambam, that you need kezayis b'chdei achilas pras? What's the special din of tarobas chametz? Moreover, we pass on like Rabbi Elazar, we pass on like Rabbanan.
Moreover, if you eat a kazayis, the neck in this pras, why don't you get kares? Like call it Torah Kula, you're always mitzare through a pras to kazayis on the Isar, and the kazayis on the Isar is kares. So one possibility would be to explain, based on the Ramach, based on the Rambam's view of Bal Yira, based on the Maler of Chaim Cohen, to say, maybe what the Rambam has in mind is as follows. If you have a shiur of kazayis, the chayach, he was pras, and you eat a kazayis, that's Tarovas Chametz. That's not Chametz bad. Because you didn't eat a kazayis of Chametz. And that's why there's only Malchus. How do you read the Gemara? The Gemara originally thought that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's Tarovas Chametz, and according to Chacham, there's nothing. Then the Gemara said, but what about the fact that there's kazayis of the chayach, he was pras? In the case of Kuta Chabavli. The Gemara says, well, you don't really have Kazayis Befechilas Pras in Kuta Chabavli, because it's Batla Daikol Tzokolav. But when the Gemara asked that question, the way the Rambam and the Rif read the Gemara, maybe, they didn't understand that the Gemara saying, forget about Karobas, let him be Chayiv Karis, because he's eating a Kazayis. They understood the Gemara's question as, why do you have to say that according to anybody who disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, and Hetam, and Sarif Leisar, that there's no such thing as Karobas Kametz, and Pasuk Chaf doesn't mean that. Maybe they just disagree with the shear. It's not Hetam Tzarif Leisar, but if you have a Chetam Kazayis Mosteach Hilas Pras, the density of that Chametz is enough to justify a din of Tarovas Chametz.
And he's a separate animal.
And?
He's a separate animal.
Yeah. So maybe one could say that for the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos. Because if you look carefully at the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam never says that you have to eat the Pras. The Rambam says, "Kvar is bar b'tzachim she'ine yosam atzurim umuzar b'achilasa lo nuskai b'achilasa malkas el b'haya b'hen kazayis kametz b'chdei achilas pras." The Rambam Sefer Mitzvah speaks not about the eating of kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, but about the tarovas containing kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. Amnam b'haya b'hen irub chametz pachos mizeh. If the ratio, if the mixture is less dense than that, right? In Chayav and Alachi Lasa Malkus. However, this chat, which I like, obviously, works maybe in Sefer Mitzvot. It doesn't work in Mishnah Torah. Because in Mishnah Torah, it's Homer Tekken, the Rambam says very clearly that you have to actually eat Ein Chayav and Kareis Alachi Lasa Akush HaKames, Erev Kameis, yes, but Medra Morim Kisha Ochal Kazayis Tok HaRoves Kedei Akhi Lasa Pras. However, is it possible to still explain conceptually this way, but with one adjustment? Yeah, I'll take a question.
The answer of the Gemara of the back was the Kolon of Kunzah.
No, that just means that specifically Kuta Chabavli, because it's not... Right, so we're saying that Le'inyan Tarobes, which is an Isra Achila, will define Kazayit Bechilas Pras differently for things which are eaten in a more deliberate manner. And it's not therefore defined as a tarobes of kazayis b'chdechilas pras le'in davarzeh. But if you had something which was actually, according to its normal method of achila, kazayis b'chdechilas pras, then the violation would be not a violation of kares because of tzirub achila, it would be a shir and cheftashon tarobes, and then even eating kazayis of it would be enough. But the Gemara is saying is, in the case of kuta chababli specifically, that's not called kazayis b'chdechilas pras. You don't measure it by other foods, you measure it by itself. By the way, which is a general question, halacha l'maisa, that's a mishnah melech and halacha, big discussion of both tea and coffee, things that are, you know, very hot or very cold, or, you know, how do you define kazayis b'chdechilas pras as a shir tzirub generally? Is it a time for all foods or each food according to its own depth? So that's how you would have to explain the Gemara. Now the Rambam, I say, doesn't hold this way exactly, because the Rambam says that you have to eat a kazayis. But I think it could still be explained along these lines with the following added point. It's only about the ratio, the density of the tarovas, or in order to qualify a certain presence, there also has to be an actual achilas kazayis. In other words, the quantitative aspect to this chesishol tarovas too. You have to eat a certain amount of it. In other words, you have to eat a pras of this tarovas. Because by eating the pras, you're relating to a kazayis. Even though you're not relating to it as a ma'isa achila, you're relating to it as a achila fatarovas. That, I think, is the language that the Rambam really, that's what the Rambam is really trying to convey. The Rambam starts off by saying you have to eat a kezayis, and then he says, aval, in ein bitkaroves kezayis b'chdeachilas gimel beitzim. He switches back to Sefer Mitzvot's language, where he talks about the taroves. Sometimes suggests the same idea, but it's not enough to eat a kezayis of the dense ratio. You have to eat also a certain amount of the actual chametz to qualify as achilas tarovus or chametz. But it would be called achilas tarovus, just give me 1 more second, tarovus or chametz. Now, the question is, but if I interpret that way, so it explains everything, except for one big problem. What does it explain? Why do we need a separate limud here? This is a general, no, this is a special din of Tarovas Chametz. How come we're passing like Rav Lazar, we're passing like the Rabbanan? We're passing like the Rabbanan. Because Rav Lazar just holds Hetzah Mitzaref Leisur. This is a special din of Chalos Tarovas Chametz with the Shir of Kedayis B'chdei Achilas Pras. But it leaves us with one powerful question, the last question of the Rabbanan, which is, but if in fact you're eating a Kedayis of the Yisur, so chachilas pras, so why did you get kares? So let me just answer that first, and then I'll take your question.
That was the question.
Okay. So that's the Ramban's question. Excellent. That's really what it is. So I think the answer is as follows. One could say the following. Number one, you could say that there are two demons. Who says you don't get kares? The Rambam is just telling us, and the Torah is telling us, that you get two violations of the kares, and there's a lot. You've eaten achmoshol comments. In addition to that, you've also eaten Tarovas comments. You get an additional malchus. That's number one. Number two, I think you might say the following. The rule that of Tziruf, Lemaisa Achila, and Kol HaTarakula, Kezayis, B'chdei Achilas Pras, can be explained in one of two ways. I tried to be careful when I formulated it before. One way is to say, that's the definition of Achila. Achila doesn't mean B'batachas, not a single act. There's a time frame for Achila, and it's all what integrated Achila within those 10 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it is. Then it's hard to say what I'm about to say. The other possibility is, Achila, every act of Achila is an act of Achila. But the din of Kedei Achilas Pras is that you can be mitzareh, small Achilos, different Achilos, a bunch of Achilos, l'shiur, it's a shiur and tziruf shiur, right, not in one simple integrated Achim. If that's the case, oh, let me just highlight for a minute. The poskim discuss whether l'chatchila, for example, in mitzvos, should one do it for batzachas? We're supposed to do an achila? It's a big issue with matzahs, you know. That's why all the people that have matzahs standing by during the night of the Seder, right? In fact, the Trumas HaDeshen, you know, brings the right. Trumas HaDeshen says l'chatchila, you should eat the, you know, the kezayis or the kezayisin, you know, the batzachas. He says, after all, the Mordechai says this about Koreh. Mordechai says, how can you eat Koreh? How can you have two? Because the Beis HaGaron and Belia, they don't tolerate two kezayis in the batachas. That's the Mordechai's question. So the Trum Sadesh says, you see from there, that l'chatchila, when there's a mitzvah to eat, you should eat the batachas l'chatchila. Reb Chaim in the stencils says, he doesn't think that's such a good raya, even though he likes the idea that you should try to eat the batachas. He says, but he doesn't think it's a good raya because he says, that's Korek. The whole idea of Korek is the integration of two different things, right? So it's more symbolically integrated when you do it with Batachas than you're going to say, oh, I'm going to eat a little Mata, a little Mara, or a little Korm Pesach, you know, over this period of 10 minutes. You know, where's the Korek in that? So Korek may be not such a good raya. But of course, this idea that there would be a Lechatchila, a Chila of Batachas, and rather than Kedayis Achilas Pras would be b'di'eved, makes more sense if it's a sheer tziruf than if it's a single nice achila. And there's other rayas for this as well. I'll just give you one other example. The Sefer HaChinuch in the context of Yom Kippur says that Kedayis Achilas Pras is not unclusive. It's the bridge. In other words, when we say Kedayis Achilas Pras, we mean that from the beginning, from the first achila, from the end of the first achila to the beginning of the last achila, there shouldn't be more than Achilas Pras. Or mean that the first and last achila have to be within the achila's pras. Now, it's the hefsek that is defined by achila's pras, or the total beginning and end of the achila. So the chinuch says, when it comes to Yom Kippur, and everybody, they all jump on him, the chinuch says, I don't understand where he got that from, he says that it's the bridge between them, it's the hefsek. Then obviously it's not a shear, in a single achila, that's a shir mitzirah, between achilas. And there are other nafkamin as well. The point is, if kazayis b'chdei achilas process an artificial mitzare, it's not a single ma'is achila, then you might say as follows. In kol parakula, we say kazayis b'chilas pras is a shir mitzirah achila, because there is no chalot, there's no significance to whatever else you're doing or eating. All, let's say you're, you know, it's just the time, right? It's neutral. I'm eating a little bit of matzah, then I'm eating a little more matzah, then I'm eating a little more matzah. And let's say I'm eating matzah and I'm sipping, you know, a juice or whatever. It doesn't matter. The other things I'm doing are distraction, but they're not significant. So we combine them to the achilas pras. But let's say what you were doing had its own status. What am I talking? You're eating tarovitz. What are you eating now? You're eating a little chametz to tarovitz and a little more chametz to tarovitz and a little more chametz to tarovitz until you hit the shear? Or are you eating a little tarovitz chametz, more tarovitz chametz, more tarovitz chametz, more tarovitz chametz? The whole point is that the Torah tells us that chametz has a separate status, a separate chalos of tarovitz, that maybe you don't say kedei achilas pras and shear ma'is achila. You can't look at it as an unadulterated chametz here. And the tarovis is the substratum that's a distraction, a neutral distraction, and therefore, as long as you end up eating the chametz within the time period, you're fine. And that's not what's going on here. That would be fine if there was no such thing as chalos, tarovis, chametz, and it was just the dilution of achilas, atzmos, or chametz. But if the Torah tells us that tarovis, chametz matters, it's a category in its own right, so what's happening? You're not eating chametz, betokha, tarovis, chametz, betokha, tarovis, chametz, betokha, tarovis. You're eating tarovis chametz, tarovis chametz, and tarovis chametz. So you end up eating the shear of tarovis chametz. And then you get malchus and no karis. That would be the explanation. I think there's another possibility.
Well, the definition of the shear of tarovis chametz
would be a kazayis. Tarovis chametz. Well, because of chametz, the tokh achilas pras. It would be the pras, in a way, according to the Rambam. Meaning achilas, tarovis, would end up being a shear of
mitzar of all the different tarovas chametz until you get
and the shear would be pras, really. But I'll be, we call it, because of the presence of the chametz the tocha, but it isn't a way of just getting the chametz. Chametz the tocha tarovas, chametz the tocha, or chametz tarovas, chametz tarovas, chametz tarovas, until you eat, end up eating kezayis chametz shel tarovas, which is another way of saying a pras of tarovas.
Right, but why don't you get chametz?
So what I'm saying is you don't get karis because normally when you combine, that's what Ramban said, right? We happen to normally be talking about malchus, but if there was karis, you'd combine also. So what I'm saying is if you're combining with something that is insignificant, so we just keep adding the end. We keep saying a little more then, a little more then, a little more then, a little more then, because the other stuff we don't care about. It's just a distraction. But here it isn't a distraction.
Because
it's a different form of it. And it has its own status.
That's the limit of pasuk.
Yeah, that's the limit of pasuk chav. That there's something called tarovitz chametz. The chametz infects its surroundings, and the surroundings become part of the definition of tarovitz chametz.
Isn't that like
that's the idea.
That's
not
the point.
No, no, that's the chiddush in Torah. That is the chiddush malchus. Eating tarovitz chametz, when you end up swallowing a chametz, a sheer kazayis chametz, shell, you know, the tarovitz chametz, or called the pras of the tarobes, that is the special halacha. Yeah. In a way, yeah. Correct. Which is why I want to suggest an alternative explanation which would highlight that too, although I think it's a different point. In a way it's hetzer mitzar pleiser, but it's a special hetzer mitzar pleiser based on a different shiur and a special status of chavit, which is why I think it's perfect. That's how the Rambam read the Gemara. The Gemara said, according to Rav Loza, hetzer mitzar pleiser. And then the Gemara said, Rabbanan, because I say hilos pras, so instead of like everybody else reading the Gemara, which was, forget about tarobas, there's a be'en of kedei achilas pras, let him get karis here. The way the Rambam read the Gemara and the Rif is, the Gemara said, we don't have to say the Rabbanan say below klom. They could redefine, have to mitzar leisur, le'inyan tarovas chametz, geshir, kazayis, b'chnei achilas pras. That's exactly how I think the Rambam read the Gemara. That's his answers to his critics. There's another possibility, I'm going to finish this quickly, and that is as follows. I mentioned before, most makom hasuros are balav, the malchus. Chametz is unusual that it's the car. It's not the only one. there are other things too. Maybe the point is, like again, you have a fascinating phenomenon here. The Torah is telling us, according to this reading of the Psukim, there are two levels of comments. There's the Malkus one, and there is the Karis one. Till now, we've been looking at the natural comments as the Karis one, and the Taravos being a dilution, and nonetheless a Chalos in this dilution, based on the dilution. I think it's possible to flip everything and say as follows. Comments would be regular Macholos Asurus. And from that point of view, it should get Malkus. The Chiddush of the Torah isn't Pasuk Chav. It's Pasuk Yitkes. Torah says, you know, chametz has such a status. If you eat unadulterated chametz, you'll get karas. This turns everything on its head. Meaning what? The regular din is Pasuk Chav. Which is, if you... I'm on the Rambam's reading now, for the Rabbana. If you eat Kazayis Bechekilos Pras, just like if you eat Kazayis Bechekilos Pras of... Da, or Chazir. You'll get Malkus. Because you're eating the Spice Achila, Tokhide Achila's Pras, Tokhashir, of Chametz. But that's you get Malkus, because it's Macholas Asuros. However, if you eat unadulterated Chametz, so you don't even need the Shir Tzirah, that gets you Chametz. But only if it's not distracted, if it's unadulterated. That's the Chiddush. So then, the question isn't why don't you get Karis? You don't get Karis because the whole Kiddush of Karis is only unadulterated comments. Let me just give you two or three Nafkamina as I conclude. I'm not going to read them inside, it's too late. This says two things. Number one, there's a very fascinating discussion with the Rav Yah. The background is as follows. When you have comments of Pesach, so Midrabanan, there's something called comments of Arul Pesach, which is prohibited, Midrabanan, you're not allowed to. If you violate Vayro Vayvase, it shouldn't come into Pesach. So then you can't eat it after the Pesach either. But the Gemara says in Tzachim, Aflamit, if it's Nisarev, after Pesach, you have come into Pesach, and then after Pesach it gets mixed into something else. So the din of Chametz Arul Pesach doesn't apply L'achar Shenisarev. That probably don't go. There's the following discussion in the Rav Yah. What about Tarovas coming to Pesach? After Pesach? It didn't get mixed up again after Pesach. Harovah's comments on Pesach. And now it's after Pesach. What's the deal? Is it like comments Shinnis Arev after Pesach? Or not? So the Rav Yah quotes a sheet that says, well, Kol Shekein, if you have comments the end, which is the Kares, and yet, if it's Nisarev after Pesach, there's no comments Harovah after Pesach, but if you have Harovah's comments, which is less, significant, then you shouldn't apply this din of Kovach of Arul Pesach either. That's the argument. And the Rav Yah says, I don't see that as an argument at all. Right? There's a huge flaw in that argument. In the case of the Kovach Yesh Bakares, which is this Arev Achar Pesach, something took place Achar Pesach that changed its status. But Tarovitz comments on Pesach after Pesach is the same Tarovitz comments which was Aser on Pesach. So it might be less than Chametz Be'en, but there was also no transformation after Pesach. But when he says it, he doesn't just say, oh, the difference is there was a change and here there wasn't a change. He adds to the formulation the following line. He says, Aval ein lav v'chametz shenisarev Pesach mechametz shenisarev l'achar Pesach, shezeh shenisarev b'shasa isar nesar kulo. Possession is hard to shot a heter rebel of a mabatlo. Nesar kulo ma'achar shenesar nesar. Meaning, Tarovitz Chametz is a substratum, it's a place in which Chametz is found, or the Tarovitz becomes infected by the Chametz and it's kulo Chametz. It might be less than Chametz the end, but it isn't just Chametz betocha Tarovitz, it's Tarovitz Chametz. That may exactly be the issue. Another issue. Just give me one more second. Yeah. Give me one more minute and then I'll take the question. There's a general rule called not bar not. It means if you have no seitan, bar no seitan. Now the classic case, again, is a case of, dogim sh'olu b'ka'ara, whether you can eat in b'kuta, which basically means the following. If you have meat, and you cook meat in a pot, and there's no be'en, so there's a blia of the meat. Then you had fish, that you cooked in the pot, so it, came into contact with the tam basar, and now you want to eat this dagim together with a milk product. So that's called nosein tam, bar nosein tam. You have a double nosein tam. The absorption, then the absorption into the dagim, and now the connection to basar b'chatz. To chatz, in this case. Okay. So the Rav Yoh deals with the following case. You have wine, you have barrels, beer barrels. So beer is harav b'chatz. Can you use them on Pesach? Let's say you wash them out with water, can you use them or not?
After all, they absorb
harav b'chatz. They absorb the hefer during the year when there's no prohibition. So you have the tam of the sheikhar, it's tarotus kavitz to begin with, sheikhar, and it leaves a tam in the barrel, and now we want to know whether you can use it on Pesach, because that's nosein tam by nosein tam. Now the assumption is, and this is maybe where it's problematic, that the first name of the sheikhar is considered nosein tam. The classic case of the Gemara is that the first nosein tam is the absorption, the blia in the kli, not that the actual physical tarotus. So this is the argument. This is a Rabbeinu Yoel. Here you can understand that this is a huge nafka min halakha l'maisa. When they were involved in wine production, can you use the barrels that you use all year round for Pesach or not? So one day it says yes, and the other day it says absolutely not. That's not nafka not, because the first stage is shecha. The question is, what do they mean by this? They mean the first stage is shecha. Omer ani, the sheikhar habakamitz gamur ani de tarobes. Ba'iru pu guf ha'isur. Lo no seitam. They're arguing, as long as the first stage isn't absorption, it's a physical tarobes, you never say not by not. Or they say more than that. Namely, tarobes chametz isn't chametz betok tarobes. It's something unique called tarobes chametz, where even the tarobes part becomes part of chafta shalisa. In which case, it's not just that it's not the normal nosein, it's not nosein tam at all. It's just called tarobes chametz. It's an isur be'en. The same way that the other Rav Yoh was saying, the tarobes chametz b'Pesach isn't chametz shenizare. It's tarobes chametz is the real thing. Finally, now I'll take a question. The Mikas Chinuch has many seikos. Number one, can you give hasra for tarobes chametz by using the pasuk of chametz be'en? He says, well, probably, why not? I mean, kalvachomer, maybe. Or are they two different chalos, according to the Rambam? Right? Or, let's say, I'm not going to go through all of them, but you get the general idea. Let's say you eat half a kazayas of chametz be'en, and then half of a tarobes chametz, kazayas b'fei'achi los pras. So that in combination, you've eaten a kazayas b'fei'achi los pras. What do you get for that? Karis? Malkus? Or nothing? So the Minchas Kiddush says, well, you can't get karis. That would be crazy, because half of what you're eating is kazayas b'fei'achi is within the tarobes, which is more cow. Can't get a chomra. Maybe you won't get anything, he says, because they're two totally different isurim. Or b'chlam asayim mana, you can't, I mean, the part that you ate from the chametz ben can certainly combine to the tarobes, can't it? But according to what we've been saying, all the options are on the table, and he has a few other cases where creative needs to be more as well, because what I'm saying was, this is a special din of Tarobas Chametz, according to one person, it's a special din of Tarobas Chametz. The special din of Tarobas Chametz, you can't combine from half the shear of Chametz Ben. The whole point is, you're eating Tarobas Chametz, you're eating more Tarobas, you're making the shear of Tarobas Chametz. So even though it's more chomor than kazayas, the chatzi zayas from the be'en, it may be more chomor, but it has nothing to do with tarobes chametz. On the other hand, it's quite possible that actually you'll end up with kares, because if you're not sufficiently distracted by tarobes chametz, right, so then maybe we really just look at it as a shir and shir of maisa achila, and you've eaten the kazayas be'en. So I would recommend not to do any of this, because you might actually end up worse off than the Minchas Chinuch thinks that you would. There's a question here, for a minute. Yeah, it's in the Bayer Rabbi Matzeh. That's true. He's assuming there that you do violate Bayer Rabbi Matzeh, and the question is, what about La'achar Pesach? Whereas the coin coming in town, that would not be true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Any difference?
Right.
Maybe that had
a
head, but if it's just
Mazda
that fell in the street or something.
The chavetz. It could be. This whole halakha would be only things that. That's an interesting question. I don't know if anybody speaks about that. You know, we have the case of the classical cases, but in Misvara, I think that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, in general parables, we have the concept of Hasif and Asim Pavela, and the whole thing changes.
Right.
Is that what some of the...
In a way, but we don't usually pass, aside from Basa Bechala, we don't pass the Hasif and Asim Pavela. And the reason is because Basa Bechala is the new creation. And this, in a way, is parallel to that idea, the first suggestion that I'm making, is parallel to that idea, namely that the parobes becomes part of the totality. It isn't just the, you know, it isn't just the framework for the Yisur, but it is affected and becomes part of the Yisur. The model of Katikhanas of the Veil is a great model. You just have to realize that that makes sense, and normally we say in Basar Mechalav, you know, where the Basar Mechalav create the Yisur. But here the Chalmet stands on its own. Why are we saying Katikhanas of the Veil on the Tarobis, which is nothing? That's the Chiddush of Pasuk Chav. That's a very good model. Yeah. And then
the bottom line, going to the
Rambam,
what is the
sheep word? You have to eat kezayis b'chdei achilos to violate. I mean, you have to eat the props. The Rambam in the Yad Chazaka. In Sefer Mitzvot, I'm not so sure that he held that way. So let me just conclude with the following notes. Basically, what we've done is we've analyzed Harobas Chametz. You've seen the unusual sheet of the Rambam. I've made two suggestions. Either that Kareis is the Chiddush, and that requires unadulterated chametz ban, or that tarobus chametz is a special chalos, where the tarobus is part of the yisur. Either way, what emerges from the analysis is that chametz is a very unusual yisur. Whether it's its capacity to be chayv kares, or its ability to affect its surroundings and to redefine them, it's clear that we don't treat chametz as we treat regular machalos asura. And this, of course, is evident from everything that we know about chametz. From the, you know, active engagement to rid ourselves of it, from the question of Yisamashahu and Chatzisha, everything about chametz is unusual, everything about chametz is really singular. We view this as like, you know, almost like a quest, you know, to rid ourselves of chametz. And, of course, the reason is that chametz really reflects the idea of unrestricted growth or unregulated growth. And the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Cheirus in Jewish terms is not to the idea of chametz, it's the idea of matzah. It's taking the liberty that we have and channeling it in a certain way, and regulation is crucial to all of that. And therefore the idea of chametz, which Kola Shana is a wonderful, the staple of our mizonos and everything else, but when it comes to making this particular point, Ein Ben Chorin El Mishosek, the Torah Mitzvos, the requirements of Shmira and everything else, chametz really becomes something that is anathema, and it's reflected in the special way that we relate to it and to the din of Torah B'Shamas as well. Thank you very much. I wish you all a Chag Kasher of this event.
It was close.
I was tempted to stop at an hour back. I was hoping you had just had a grandson.